City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
To the Windy City Queer Cast show number 522. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
He's back.
I'm back.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Welcome. Ahoy, matey. Is that what you say when you get on the boat or off the boat? What do you say when you get off
ahoy
the boat?
Ahoy is when you're greeting other people.
Oh, okay.
Like other sailors.
Well, ahoy.
Although, thank you. I'm
ahoy.
A whore.
A whore.
I have been a whore for the past 4 months. No, I have not.
No.
I'm glad I'm back. I'm still adjusting to being home.
Yeah, well, this whole show we are going to hopefully adjust with you and get caught up because you were absent from the show for your pretty much
so
your
long.
Entire stint this time.
I know. We didn't have a chance to.
We didn't have a chance to talk. I guess we could have made that happen, but it was hard. It's always a hard schedule.
Our court day, the only time I was in the States where we would have had service, because on the ship it's too hard to get Skype or something, was in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And to be perfectly honest with you,
you were having a good time.
I was a little, probably by the time we would have chatted, I would have been a little bit drunk. Because I mean, for those people who have been to New Orleans, ooh.
It's different than Vegas. It's not like whatever happens in Vegas stays and happens. It's more like whatever you said you wouldn't do, you're going to do it in New Orleans.
And also this culture in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Every corner there's music.
Yeah.
There's arts festivals. There's a parade every weekend.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating. Every weekend.
It's such a great town.
These people love a parade. But also, everywhere you go, there's, $2 Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
Or $4 if you want a double. And then that's the size of, a liter of Coke.
Yeah. It's like a big gulp.
Yeah, a big gulp of Bloody Mary. I just drank a lot of Bloody Marys. and I met a really cute dog groomer.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see one of my favorite people I've known since she was a little girl at Circus Smirkus. Her name's Alex. And she and her boyfriend are... elementary school teachers
in New Orleans.
So I got to see them a bunch.
You had regular kind of, because you were coming back to that port all the time.
Yes,
you had some regular.
So I had a regular booty call. I had regular friends to see.
Mm-hmm.
Had a bar. I mean, there's all these great gay bars on Bourbon Street, and
mm-hmm.
so
it's such a great.
I ran into porn stars.
You did
several times.
Who?
The gay male listeners will know who it is. Oh God. I'm blanking on it. Come back to me about this one because I ran into him a couple of times at gay bars in New Orleans. He's a big.
I can't help you here.
Yeah, no, he's enormous. Oh God, I'll think of it.
He's enormous.
He's an enormous person. He's this gorgeous, light skinned black guy. He's one of the huge porn stars. Anyway, he's beautiful and he was very nice.
Cool.
And he was always hanging out in this bar that was easy to hang out in, called the Bourbon Pub.
Mm-hmm.
It just was fun.
So was the... Now, just for listeners who don't know, Mitchell, especially if this is your first Queer Cast, Mitchell Fain is one of my regular co-hosts. He's an actor and performer, improv performer, a circus guy, director, solo performer.
Blah, blah.
my Jewish mother-in-law who lives in my house. And my mother's been gone and back. But
on Mother's Day.
Yeah. But, you know, it's so he's back now. And but every year, annually, you go away for four-plus months on a
cruise
ship to perform with a the Second City troupe.
Yes.
And so this is like your sixth
My sixth contract, yeah.
So, and this year
if you
went
about
where?
Six contracts, 4 months at a time, that's 24 months. So I have actually spent an entire
two years
of my life living on a ship. Not consecutively.
Yeah.
But that sort of dawned on me. I was like, well, that's crazy. So this time we went from, we ported in New Orleans, picked up passengers, went to Costa Maya, Mexico, which, by the way, isn't even really on a map.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically created.
Mm-hmm.
For tourists, but now about 800 people live there during the year.
Uh-huh.
But it's this beautiful little stretch of beach. And then we would go to Belize.
Yes.
On Wednesday. Not my favorite. And then we would go to Honduras, an island off the coast of Honduras called Roatan, Honduras.
Oh, wow.
And I loved Roatan. Super fun. Beautiful, beautiful beaches. Crazy, beautiful water. There's this whole section of the West Bay of Roatan, which is like just miles of beach, and it's every section of it, there's a resort or a hotel or a bar restaurant that then has their own section of the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go to this place called Bananarama.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, we would go every week, and the cast would go every week. And I mean, in the cast of the, there's also a production cast who does musicals on the ship. And so, you know, the entertainers tend to hang out with each other.
Are they musical reviews or are they musicals?
No, they're musical reviews.
Yep.
Except for one is a show called Shout, which is a jukebox musical from England.
Yeah.
So they do sort of a shortened version of Shout, which actually Megan Murphy,
Big Red.
Big Red. Big Red's Cabaret.
In Chicago at Mary's Attic.
And at Gay Idol.
And Gay Idol.
She was the original. She did the first version of Shout on the ships.
Oh.
That's the first time
I
saw Shout.
All met.
Yeah, that's how we met. But so, and then from Roatan, we would go to Cozumel, Mexico, which I really love because it's very much, out of all of the places we go, it's like a city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's there's a Starbucks.
yeah.
And after a week of like roughing it a little bit, not knowing if the cab that you've hired to take you to the beach is actually going to make it up the hill, it's nice to go to Cozumel where there's, it's very modern.
Yeah.
So I loved that. And then back to New Orleans. But then after three and a half months of that, the ship repositioned, they called a repo for the people in the know, to Europe. So I did a crossing across the Atlantic.
Wow.
So 6 full days.
At sea,
no land.
With a ship full of people?
With a ship full of people who are... They know me at that point, right? It's one thing, like...
So but you have a ship full of passengers at
passengers,
that time, too?
Yes. Passengers take...
and they want to go from
They're the kind of people... I don't want to say anything disparaging about them because they keep me getting this gig. There's a kind of person who's older, very conservative, very persnickety, retired,
And they're the ones who want to do the cross Atlantic.
Yes, because they like basically being on the hotel.
They like being on the hotel.
And with a captive, it's different from being in a hotel. Of course, everybody at a hotel, you know, the staff wants to take care of you. On a ship, they can't avoid you. So there's a pampering that goes on of these kinds of, quote, professional, end quote, cruisers. And so there's a sense of entitlement and ownership that they have. So 6 days where they see you as a, you know, they've watched me perform, so there's like a you take on a bit of a celebrity status, but at the same time they feel they can own you. So a lot of people saying like, okay, these are my greatest hits of the things I hate when people say
on the ship.
Yes,
at any time
to me particularly. Number three least favorite thing is tell me a joke. Come on, tell me a joke. Okay, this is a funny guy. Be funny. That's number three. I hate number two. Come here. I got a story for you. You can use it in your show. I can almost promise you, sir, that I will not be using your story in my show. number one thing I hate is, hey, you the little guy? No, I'm not the little guy. I'm the large black woman. Who do you think I am? You the little guy? I get that so much. So the 6 days at sea was a challenge. It was a challenge. It was interesting to be
because normally you can hold you can kind of hide out
for a couple of days. You can hide out for 6 days in my room.
No.
You have to emerge at some point.
Yeah.
The only thing that sucked was, of course, that it wasn't as sunny and warm, so I kind of lost my tan a little bit. I mean, I'm still tan.
No, you're
but
tan.
I mean, my face isn't as tan, which I'm so shallow, which is really all I care about because I'm going to a wedding soon and I have to be tan for it. But then we got to the Azores, so we spent a day in Portugal and then in Dover, mm-hmm. England. We saw the White Cliffs.
Wow.
And then we went to Helsingborg, Sweden, which I have a story about.
Sweden.
And then we finished. My contract ended in Copenhagen.
Yep.
And then the ship will go on without Second City to do a Baltic run. So Copenhagen, another town in Sweden, Estonia, 2 days in Russia, overnight in St. Petersburg, and then back to Copenhagen.
Wow.
But we're not doing that run. We finished. So I decided to stay a couple of extra days in Copenhagen.
Uh-huh.
And I had never actually done that by myself, yep. stayed somewhere by myself.
Yeah.
And I have to give two very enthusiastic thumbs up to the beautiful town of Copenhagen, Denmark. Have you been?
No.
People,
I want to go.
People, I have to tell you something. It is so peaceful. It is so clean.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful. The people are beautiful. The food is wonderful. I mean, it's marvelous.
I feel like there was an Oprah show where they were trying to find the people who had the best quality of life and were the happiest. And I believe Denmark was where it was. I believe it was the Danish.
Oh, my God. I just fell in love with it. A friend of mine helped me get a hotel because I didn't know anything, so she sort of recommended one and ended up being this really amazing. Actually, in fact, she ended up treating me to it, which was really generous. She just was she's a very generous friend. Mm-hmm. Shout out. Turns out this hotel is literally next door to like the sidetracks of
Copenhagen. How funny. Which is,
I mean, like the most popular
gay bar.
It's different. It's not set up like a side. It's just that it's an incredibly popular gay bar. So like literally I had noticed that there was this outdoor cafe that was attached to a bar restaurant, and it was there seemed to be people there 24/7. You know, when I arrived I was like, wow, there's people there. And then later when I wanted dinner I was like, well, I'll go there. Turns out it's a gay bar. It was marvelous. I found out where all the other gay bars were. Not that I spent a lot of time going to bars,
but it was nice to know
that I was safe and that there's this vibrant, thriving gay community in Copenhagen. And as it turns out, the hotel that I stayed in, because my friend is so smart and knows me so well, it's very gay friendly, and that she picked it because it was sort of in the center of city, but it's literally the center of town.
Wow.
And the city hall, this gorgeous, ancient, beautiful city hall building was across the street.
Yeah.
I went to see the statue of the Little Mermaid, which is where that legend comes from. I went to this amazing, for people who know
Did you sing Part of My World? From the statue where the Little Mermaid was.
I didn't sing it out loud, but I hummed it.
I really wish you had videoed yourself so we could post that to Facebook of you singing Part of My World in front of the mermaid statue.
I can't say enough about Copenhagen.
That's amazing. Were the people nice?
Beyond nice and beautiful and like super happy to help you, and like most people speak English, which for a dummy like me was useful because I don't speak any other language. I just loved it. I just loved it. It's definitely a place I will go back to. But I do have to tell you a quick story about Sweden.
Yes.
Okay, so in Sweden, we only were there one day and it was the most gorgeous weather.
Yeah.
And we had been on the ship again for 3 days in a row.
Yep.
After we left the Azores, we had another 3 full days at sea.
And where were you in Sweden?
Helsingborg.
Uh-huh.
Helsingborg.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. Beautiful tiny little town. So I wandered around and I took pictures.
The Swedes can be very dark people, you know. It's very Bergman, like
It's very sparse.
Mm-hmm.
But it was gorgeous, and people.
And we live in a Swedish neighborhood, which is so interesting, right?
It is. Well, first of all, Swedish people are just stunning. I mean, I saw some people who were so beautiful that it made my teeth hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So
more than the Danish.
Even more than the Danish here, although it's literally 20 miles away.
So the same.
You can take a ferry there in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You're right, the same people. Okay, so this is my story about Sweden. If for those people who don't believe in love at first sight, I'm about to tell you a story, and this is a completely true story. Amy hasn't even heard this story.
Oh, my God,
yet.
I haven't
It's not like
heard
I'm repeating this,
story. This
for you, no. I wandered around for most of the day gloriously by myself. I've spent a lot of time with my cast, and I love them, but sometimes you just need a little alone time. So I was like, I'm just going to wander around by myself. And I wandered for miles. It was so beautiful, taking pictures and getting coffee and whatever. Although it's hard to find iced coffee in Europe.
Mm.
So
It's
hard to find ice. So I wanted iced coffee and Wi-Fi. Mm. So I wander into this cafe, and it was very bright out, so my eyes had to adjust. So I was looking to see if there was a Wi-Fi sign or something like that. And as my eyes adjusted, I look up and the guy, the barista behind the counter at the cafe, was staring back at me. And I kid you not, we stared at each other for a good 10 or 15 seconds, which doesn't sound like a long time, but
it's a long time.
Stare at someone for 10 seconds that you don't know and know how weird that is.
Yeah.
And so literally I walked in, my eyes adjusted. He was looking at me and I looked at him. In a cafe full of people, he's working. And then he sort of mouths loudly enough for me to hear, but just basically mouths because we're, you know, a cafe away from each other. He says, "Do I know you?" And I said, "I don't think so." And then he says, "I think I've known you for a very long time." I'm not kidding you. I've never seen this person before in my life. So then I walk in and we're both in this weird daze. And I said, he said, "Well, what can I do for you?" I said, "I want coffee, iced coffee, and I want Wi-Fi." He's like, "Well, I can give you both of those. Have a seat." So he makes me my iced coffee, an Americano. No cream, no sugar. I'd like it black. And he said, "You didn't charge me." And he said, "Can I sit down with you?" And I said, "Sure." His name's Leo. He's half Portuguese, half Swedish. Stunning. In fact, I'm going to send, for all the people who will find the story romantic and sad, I'm going to send the picture. I took a picture of him
you
and
too.
I'm going to send it to Di so she can put it on the... we then proceeded to talk for about an hour and a half like we had known each other for 20 years.
This is like, you know, before sunrise. Okay, keep going.
Meanwhile, I find out he's 21.
Oh, no.
He's so funny and sweet and kind and gorgeous. And so he finally, so after chatting, he says to me.
He's 21.
He's 20. He says, "Can I take you out to dinner tonight?" And I said, I can't. My ship, I have to get back on my ship. And I looked at my watch and I had 25 minutes to get back to my ship. And I didn't kind of know where I was because I'd been wandering for so long. My plan was to get a coffee and then walk slowly with an hour and 45 minutes left back to the ship.
Right.
But now I had 25 minutes and I didn't really know where I was.
Going.
So I kid you not, I took a picture of the two of us really fast. We look crazy in the picture. You'll see when I post it. We look crazy because both of us are having this weird experience. And then I ran out of there like fucking Cinderella. I didn't get his last name. I didn't get an email. I can't remember the name of the cafe. I will never see this person again. And before I left, when I said I couldn't go out to dinner, he said, "That's probably good because I think by the end of dinner I would be in love with you." And I said, "I think I'm already there." And we had this moment.
Oh my God.
I'm not kidding. It was real. I know this sounds crazy, but for anyone who doesn't believe in love at first sight, I'm telling you, it happened to me. It happened to me in Helsingborg, Sweden, with a 21-year-old, half Portuguese, half Swedish barista in a cafe that I can't remember the name of, on a street that I can't remember the name of, and I will never see him again.
You don't know that.
I don't know that. It was magical.
Hmm.
So that's sort of the tenor of my... of my month, my 4 months, because I also fell in love with this boy on the ship, which is a whole other story. And...
we're going to tell that story after the news.
Okay.
I can only handle one gorgeous love story.
He's younger.
At a time. No, no! He's younger?
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Not by a lot. Just by a year, but...
Oh, God!
But still. Well, when in Rome. I don't know what
when
that means.
When in Rome. I don't know. The opinions expressed here are strictly those of the person who makes them.
Right, exactly. I mean, these are legal. When I say younger, I mean younger than me. I mean, there's a huge range of people.
Oh, okay,
younger
not
than
younger than 21.
No, he's 20. The other one was 20, yeah.
Okay.
No, he's younger than 21. He's 20.
All right, we're gonna leave you pondering the 20-year-old.
I know, I'm pathetic.
Oh my God. Well, you know what? It's just so good to have Mitchell back on the couch and have him with us. We're gonna keep talking about his travels because there's always so many great, great stories. And I also just love to get his perspective on being a gay man out and about in various worlds and
it's really interesting.
The positives and the negatives and the things that are surprising and the things that are surprising. And we're gonna talk about all of that. We've gotta tell you what's going on in the GLBT news as we are barreling into Memorial Day and barreling into that to me is just like, you know, we're almost on top of Pride by the time we're heading here to the end of this month of May. And we're going to tell you what's going on in the theater scene because there's so many great shows and artists coming to town. So Mitchell Fain with me on the show all day today.
Hey! Hey! Hey, everyone! It's Judy Gold. And I know you know this already, but you're on the Windy City Queercast. Don't leave.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
The Minnesota Senate gave final approval on May 13th to a marriage equality bill, and the governor signed it into law, making Minnesota the 12th state to approve allowing same-sex couples to obtain marriage licenses the same as male-female couples. The vote also continues an unprecedented momentum toward marriage equality, with Minnesota being the sixth state to approve marriage equality in the past 6 months, and the third to do so in the past 2 weeks.
Karen Peterson, a Democratic state senator in Delaware, came out of the closet during a debate on a bill to legalize same-sex marriage. Peterson received applause after speaking publicly for the first time about her 24-year relationship with her partner, Vicky. The bill later passed 12-9, and Governor Jack Markell signed it into law.
Dallas will go another 2 years without an openly gay person on its 15-member city council. Three gay candidates running in two districts were defeated in municipal elections on May 11th.
In Ohio, authorities in the Cleveland suburb of Olmsted Township have arrested a 36-year-old man for the murder of transgender woman Senia C.C. Dove, 20, whose body was found April 17th in a pond tied to concrete block and steel pipe. With the assistance of members of the FBI's Fugitive Task Force, Olmsted Township police apprehended Andrew Bridges at his residence in Palma. Dove, whose legal name is Carl Acoff Jr., had been stabbed multiple times before being dumped in a pond in a remote section of Olmsted Township.
Former Republican U.S. Congressman Jim Colby married his partner of 8 years in Washington, D.C. Colby's husband is Hector Alfonso, a teacher from Panama.
With the passage of marriage equality in Minnesota, 18% of the entire U.S. population and 22% of same-sex couples now live in areas where same-sex couples can legally marry. In 2009, only 3% of the U.S. population and 5% of same-sex couples lived in marriage equality states. If Illinois extends marriage to same-sex couples and the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Prop 8 in California, 41% of gay and lesbian couples would live in areas allowing marriage equality.
A new Washington Post poll shows that 56% of Virginians favor marriage equality. It was just 7 years ago that 57% of the state's voters passed an amendment to define marriage as being between one man and one woman.
Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton is among those who believe that the NFL's Minnesota Vikings cut punter Chris Cluey for reasons not related to football. Dayton criticized the Vikings management for what he perceived as blatant dishonesty. Cluey is an outspoken supporter of the LGBT community.
California education officials now require public schools to include prominent gay people and gay rights milestones in the curriculum. The California Board of Education unanimously approved new standards stating that textbooks, workbooks, and other materials purchased with state funds must avoid descriptions, depictions, labels, or rejoinders that tend to demean, stereotype, or patronize individuals who are LGBT.
The Department of Defense has recognized a veteran as a transgender woman. Autumn Sandine served on four ships during 20 years in the military before retiring and coming out as transgender. The military system that manages retiree pay and services, however, it always tracks Sandine as male. Sandine said that after completing 7 documents that were required, the change was acknowledged.
In Florida, Hollywood Hills High School football captain Leo Washington told a Miami TV station that he's gay, a public revelation inspired by NBA player Jason Collins coming out. Washington said his high school football team at his previous school in Georgia made him change in the women's locker room. However, at his new school, he's embraced by the team and the school. He's even a finalist for Prom King.
In world news, in the Philippines, the gay political party Ang Ladlad apparently failed to win a seat in Congress. Official election results report that the party got only 0.37% of the vote. The party needs at least 2% to get a seat under the Philippines party list system. The Elections Commission had twice denied the group accreditation, the last time in 2010 on what it said were moral grounds.
Brazil's National Council of Justice voted 14-1 to approve a resolution that prohibits public notaries across the country to deny same-sex couples access to marriage. The Brazilian Federal Public Ministry will not appeal the decision.
Ireland is hosting what some are calling the world's first LGBT matchmaking festival. The Listdoon Varna Matchmaking Festival, the oldest event of its kind in Europe, will, for the first time, invite gay singles looking for love for a weekend filled with parties and events. The so-called outing weekend will take place August 30th through September 1st.
In a watershed ruling, Hong Kong's top court has granted a transgender woman the right to marry her boyfriend. The surprise decision only covers the right of a transgender person who was born male to marry a man, and for one who was born female to marry a woman. The Court of Final Appeals ruling brings Hong Kong in line with many other places in the Asia-Pacific region, including mainland China, where transgender people are allowed to marry as their new gender.
In entertainment news, the third season of the FX show American Horror Story, called American Horror Story Coven, has added actresses Patti LuPone and Angela Bassett. They will join Sarah Paulson, Frances Conroy, Kathy Bates, and Gabourey Sidibe.
NBC has canceled the Broadway-centered show Smash and also The New Normal, the Ryan Murphy-produced show about a gay couple. Meanwhile, ABC has renewed Modern Family, Grey's Anatomy, and Nashville.
Jake Gyllenhaal and Chris Pine are in talks to play the princes in the Walt Disney Pictures film adaptation of Into the Woods. Gyllenhaal of Brokeback Mountain fame and Pine from Star Trek, same to Academy Award-winning Chicago director Rob Marshall, and are expected to join the cast, which is led by Meryl Streep and Johnny Depp.
Barbara Walters announced her retirement on The View after more than 50 years on television. Walters, age 83, will leave the summer of 2014. She began her career at NBC in 1961 and was the first woman to co-host a news program as news anchor at The Today Show in 1974.
The relaunch of Soap's All My Children and One Life to Live online are readjusting to a new episode release schedule of two new original episodes each weekly instead of four. Fresh episodes of All My Children will be uploaded on Monday and Wednesday, and One Life to Live on Tuesday and Thursday. Friday will continue to be a day for recap.
Actress Angelina Jolie, age 37, had a double mastectomy in February after discovering her faulty BRCA1 gene, and she had reconstructive surgery in April. The mother of six is also planning to undergo surgery to remove her ovaries as she still faces a high risk of developing ovarian cancer, which her doctors estimate at 50%.
And Uma Thurman will star as controversial anti-gay activist Anita Bryant in the film Anita, produced by Sex and the City creator Darren Star. The director and writers of the film won Oscars for Common Thread, Stories from the Quilt, and The Times of Harvey Milk. The film follows the singer and Orange Juice spokeswoman who, after allowing a gay screenwriter into her home, is forced to confront her past as an anti-gay Christian crusader. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
This Memorial Day, May 27th, don't miss Laugh Factory's new night of queer comedy, Homos a Go-Go, a comedy extravaganza. Hosted by Windy City Queercast's very own Scott Duff, Homos a Go-Go features the funniest queer and queer-friendly comics from Chicago and around the country. This Memorial Day, check out the Chicago comics Joel Kim Booster, Archer Coe, and the hilarious Jessica Hallam, deemed by Time Out Chicago as one of the queers that make our city great. Doors open at 7:30 and the show starts at 8. For more tickets for Homos a Go-Go, a comedy extravaganza, visit laughfactory.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Dance.
Art. Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 20th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Steppenwolf Theater Company presents Head of Passes, a world premiere from the creative team behind the celebrated The Brother Sister Plays. Tickets on sale now at steppenwolf.org. Head of Passes is playing now through June 9th.
You have $1,000 and 90 minutes to end poverty. Go. Playing now through May 25th at the Theater and Interpretation Center at Northwestern University, How to End Poverty in 90 Minutes challenges audience members every night with $1,000 from ticket sales, sitting on the stage, and the question, how do you attack the problem of poverty in America? Spectacularly eclectic and often delightful, occasionally uncomfortable, How to End Poverty engages audience, cast members, and community experts. For tickets, visit tic.northwestern.edu/poverty.
Air hostess Pam Ann returns to the USA in her hilarious new one-woman show, Cockpit. One night only, May 24th at Harris Theater. Mixing camp, humor, and glamour, Pam Ann has performances as well in New York, Miami, Dallas, and Los Angeles. For tickets to Pam Ann Cockpit, visit harristheaterchicago.com. Buckle up, bitches. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytime.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment. Well, folks, you know, we are still here with Mitchell Fain as we barrel into, you know, we're heading into Memorial Day weekend. And in Chicago, as we have our international traveler returning to our couch, Mitchell Fain, we also are aware that it is International Mr. Leather, where the world comes to land in their leather. And the bears and the otters and all of those the have their pride as well. But the International Mr. Leather is a big to-do Memorial Day weekend. And because of it, John Waters is in town this week at the Harris Theater. Pam Ann's in town this weekend for her show, which you and I saw her last time hilarious. She was here. And she's hilarious. And we'll be going again this year. And she's fantastic, folks. If you still want to get tickets to Pam Ann at the Harris Theater, I encourage you to. And we're just, you know, it kind of, to me, like the beginning of summer. Also, this... we're heading into this coming weekend will be the debut of the Liberace film Behind the Candelabra on HBO.
I'm so excited about it.
With Matt Damon and Michael Douglas, who looks so much like Liberace. I think he's going to be fantastic.
You know what I like about, one of the things I like about, I think he's going to be fantastic. Have you seen the preview?
I have not seen a preview at all. Fantastic. I've seen photographs and I've seen, I read my Entertainment Weekly spread, but I have not seen a preview.
This is the thing I love about, I mean, you know, one could argue that at this point in our progress, it'd be nice if fucking gay people were playing gay people, famous gay people. But I'll tell you what I love about this casting. Mm-hmm. Both Michael Douglas and Matt Damon have been vocally, career-wise, unbelievably gay supportive in a way that's beyond just sort of like I'm cool, I'm hip because I'm down with the gay.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be cool, I'll get an Emmy or an Oscar nomination if I play a gay person. I think these two particular actors are so beyond that when you think both of them are on Will and Grace.
Yeah.
Right? Not that that means anything except that like, and Michael Douglas played a gay man on Will and Grace, you know?
He's a great actor.
They're both great actors, but there's something, they seem to me, and of course I don't know them, but there's something about the two of them, and they're not just I'm cool because I like the gay, but it's like I feel like they honor and revel in the gay people in their lives, and so I feel like this, I have no issue with this casting.
No, I think this casting is pretty genius, and I think what's amazing is, you know, we were talking the other day, this was a podcast a while ago, and I don't remember what, maybe it was around the Oscars, but so it was a while ago. But, you know, Michael Douglas came out and he was standing next to a woman his own age, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you saw him next to a woman his own age, you were like, wow, he's so handsome, you know?
Yeah.
It's just that we see him in reference to Catherine Zeta-Jones
right, so
all
he looks
the time.
Like an old man.
So he looks like an old man, you know? But he has, you know, he has really transformed himself so much throughout the years. He doesn't quite have maybe, and maybe I'm wrong, somebody please correct me if I am, he doesn't quite have that raging bull moment in a career, or that he doesn't have it, that it's that extreme, you know, or right, Charlize Theron, or but he just
steady...
can subtly change. He is a character actor and a great leading male character actor. And Matt Damon is the same, you know, he's got this film coming out, you know, where his head's shaved and he kind of looks like you. He's got the head shave, he's got the stubble,
yeah.
He's got this sci-fi movie that's going to be coming out, and You know, I mean, can equally play that and is so comfortable to do all the stuff where, you know, it's like I'm fucking Matt Damon,
you know, exactly,
he's just gamer, the Fruit of the Loom when he plays one of the grapes, or he does the Fruit of the Loom character, you know, in his sketch. He's done great stuff on Saturday Night Live.
And on 30 Rock.
And so you just kind of go, this is a guy who's just, you know, such a stand-up guy and such a great character leading actor. Like, he's a character leading actor too, both of them.
He also he seems to have the amity of his peers, right?
Yes.
You never hear anybody diss Matt Damon.
No.
Cool. It's funny, this what you were saying about Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas is a little bit what we were talking about before about me with my younger. Here's the deal. I have so many young people in my life.
Right.
I feel like I have to justify this. I don't really have to justify it. Fuck it. Fuck them if they can't take a joke. But I do have so many young people in my life, and sometimes people my own age. Often my married lady friends who want me to settle down are like, what are you doing with these young kids?
Yep.
But it's like, I have so many young people in my life through work that I find, for a couple of reasons, I so much enjoy the energy of young, and this younger generation, especially of gay people and straight people, to be honest, too.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I guess I'm talking about specifically, are just a little bit more relaxed about stuff than I think even people of my own generation are. And plus, being in the theater, I don't finish my job until 11:30, 12 at night. Men my age who aren't in the theater, I've been in bed for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Who am I going to hang out with?
Yeah.
Who am I hanging out with? I'm going to hang out with younger people because they're going to go out at midnight. I can call them and say, hey, meet me out because I just got off of work.
Yeah.
Most people have a couple of hours after work.
Absolutely.
Ours starts at midnight, you know. Yeah. So
you meet restaurant people, you meet nightclub people.
Exactly.
And you're not a nightclub person.
Right, and you meet theater people.
You meet theater people, artists.
Exactly. So that's part of it, is that there's a comfort level with me with younger people. Also, let's face it, 21-year-olds are hot. And as long as they like me back.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with it.
All right, so tell us about your second.
Let's just say, I'm just going to say, the sweetest, goofiest, stunningly gorgeous, like, we look ridiculous. That's what I'm saying, like, we look, the way in which Michael Douglas looks sort of ridiculous next to Catherine Zeta-Jones in an age way, just sort of like, trust me, I look like this with this young man. He's a fitness person, fitness trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And so beautiful and so fun and so goofy and so we just embraced each other in a way that was like, he really made the 4 months really fun. It was somebody to like look forward to hanging out with.
Once a week.
This was the person on the ship.
Oh, okay.
This was a person on the ship. I worked on the ship. It just was like, it was an affaire de cour, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That was like, it's not going to be anything past it. And in fact, it was very much, in a weird way, on the DL, but not because of not being out.
Right.
Although this particular person isn't.
Right.
I don't even know if he's actually gay. One of those weird experiences I have. More like, I didn't want to deal with anybody else's scrutiny about it.
Yep.
I didn't want anyone's judgment. I didn't want anybody.
Well, and it's nice when you have the relationship and it's being defined by the two people in
it
and not defined by the people around
it. And when you work on a ship, I got to tell you something. Imagine being in high school.
It's like a microcosm.
It's a major microcosm because it's like if high school and prison had a baby.
That's a ship.
That's a ship because you can't go anywhere.
Right.
Really, you live in these tiny rooms next to each other, and everybody knows each other's business. And if you fart in the middle of your sleep, your next door neighbor knows it. So if there's somebody in your room, they know it, and they know if somebody's leaving your room at 8 a.m. And so you have to sort of like rely on people's, not that anybody's doing anything, you know, unseemly, but it's like there's very little privacy.
Yeah.
And so most of us lead our private lives privately.
Yeah.
There is no such thing on a ship because it doesn't exist.
Mm.
So it was very interesting. And I have to say, it was, like I said, just a 4 month thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but one of those experiences you have, affair, the word affair, I don't mean affair like in cheating, but I mean like a love affair.
Yeah, love affair.
That's what it was. And it was.
For a time.
And
it had a reason because you were on this boat and where you were.
It was actually, and a reason and a season, right? It was a full season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was glorious. And I miss him, and he's really great.
Aww. That's good, though. I'm glad you had that for four months.
It was lovely.
What do you think is, I mean, you've done these boats for people. Like, I've never been on a cruise. Like, what do you think are the, give me three of the best things about being on a boat and the three worst things about being on a boat. And obviously, you are doing it from the perspective of not a passenger. You're doing it from the perspective of working on a boat. But, I mean, it's a viable option for a lot of LGBT people.
It is. You and know, also, because you can be out passenger status. So I do have a slightly, I do have a good perspective on both of those things. Because
you're obviously not on an RSVP boat. You're not on an Olivia cruise. No, we're not doing gay cruises. You're not doing
gay cruises.
But,
you know, every night, Norwegian Cruise Lines, I give them props for this, have put in their schedule a Friends of Dorothy meeting. And they, you know, it's nothing official. Nobody shows up and is like, hi, welcome to the Friends of Dorothy meeting.
It's just a gathering where you know there's going to be gay people.
Right. If you look, they call it the Freestyle Daily.
Yeah.
Because it's freestyle cruising.
Yeah.
On Norwegian. Which means that you don't have a set time for dinner and you don't have to get tickets for the shows. You can go anywhere you want at any time, at any sitting, and wear whatever you want. There's no dress code and stuff like that, unless it's certain nights or certain restaurants. But the three best things about cruising are, well, the travel, right? You do, it is a cool way to see a lot of places in a very organized way. Mm-hmm. You will never starve.
Yeah.
I mean, there's food 24/7. And I think for me, the best part is you get to meet, and this may be more specific to working on a ship, but even as a passenger, I mean, the crew on a ship, it's probably about 2,000 crew members, 88% of them, maybe 92%, are from 64 other countries that are not the United States.
Interesting.
So the best part for me is I'm not friends with people from Macedonia and St. Lucia and Russia and Mexico and if you can think of a country, I'm now Romanians, and I'm now friends with people from Brits and Australians and people from New Zealand and people from Fiji and Jamaica. And I'm friends with people from all over the world because of this this gig. And if you're open, even as a passenger, that's true. I mean, I would say 75% of the staff on a cruise ship is from the Philippines. So I now have so many people in my life who are Filipino who I love so dearly and watch how hard they work. I mean, I have a sweet, sweet gig. My sister calls it a scam. She's like, what scam are you doing this year? In which we work very little. When we do work, it's a full burst of energy, and we have to be on, and we have to be funny, and that we have to be excellent, but we don't work very many hours.
Right.
When I say very many, I mean almost none. I mean, we work like 6 hours a week. It's a great gig. So there's a lot of time on our hands. The rest of the crew works 16, 18 hours a day. With very few days off. Sometimes no days off for like 9 months at a time.
Wow.
And they do it with a smile on their face.
Yeah.
And so I'm just impressed. And so for me, that's the worst part of working on a cruise ship is actually being on a cruise ship, because it's like you feel a little bit trapped, and sometimes the air can feel recycled, like if you're inside, like on a plane, you know. There's lots, if you're working on a cruise ship, there's lots of rules, right? Not that many, more apply to other people than do to my cast, just because of the contract we have. But there are rules, you know, and passengers always come first. And the worst part is the sort of feeling, like I was saying before, about feeling captive by people who have just seen you perform. You know, most of the time as performers, and don't get me wrong, I love audiences, and I love to meet audiences. Sandalyn, I meet everybody, you know, I deliberately do it. But then you get to leave. Imagine if you didn't get to leave. And now you're the most recognized person on the ship. Because 2,000 people have just watched you perform, and now you're stuck on a ship with them. And some of them are incredibly cool, and I've made great friends of total strangers, passengers.
We've had podcast listeners be on.
In fact, I just saw Brad and Jason. Shout out to Brad and Jason. They were actually in New Orleans. They're Chicagoans. Who I've invited over for one of our cookouts this summer.
Good.
Yeah, you're going
to
love them.
I can't wait to meet
them. I know, you're going to love them. Anyway, so they happened to be in New Orleans one of my days, and we had this amazing day
in
New Orleans with Pat and Abby, too.
Oh, fantastic.
Not Abby, and Pat and Alex. So anyway, so I've met amazing people, but sometimes it's a chore.
Sometimes you're like, I'm there.
Also, I have a bite of food in my mouth, or I'm sitting in the cafe in the corner with my Kindle, and I'm reading, and it's clear that I don't really want to talk to anyone, and then Mm-hmm. Someone plops themselves down, and you're like, oh, sweet goodness.
I have to.
You have to.
Because you're representing the boat, and you're
and
representing
Second City.
And Second City.
All of that stuff. And you're representing your own show and your own cast. And
so if I said to you, like, Mitchell, I'm going to give you one more day right now, and you can, like, you know, have an I Dream of Jeannie moment and cross your arms and blink, and you can go back to, like, one place. I mean, exclude the guy in the coffee shop in Helsingborg.
Right.
But, like, a place, you know, that, you know, you just really felt like you loved, even if you didn't get to go there many, many times.
I will tell you, there's a place in Cozumel, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too far off the beaten path, but it's not a touristy spot. You have to sort of know the town a little bit to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little restaurant on a corner called Le Chef.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so beautiful. And this boy who was the waiter, this boy Guillermo, I'm sure he was like 22, 23. I did not have an affair with him. He was the skinny hipster boy from Cozumel, Mexico. The most gorgeous food, the most gorgeous music playing, mm-hmm. beautifully appointed. And it was a Friday staple for me.
Mm-hmm.
I get off the ship, I walk to Le Chef, I have the most extraordinary breakfasts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the coffee is delicious, fresh fruit, melons and mangoes, and then their egg, I mean, just gorgeous. And then the Wi-Fi was super strong, so you could, like, catch up on your mm-hmm. Wi-Fi. And then little by little, other people from the production cast and mm-hmm. my cast, so it became like a hangout.
Oh, nice.
Where we sort of took over in a way, but we were all spending money, so they were happy to have us there. You know, and we were sort of making it popular, so I will miss that.
Mm-hmm.
I love Le Chef. It's if you're ever in Cozumel, you gotta go to Le Chef. It's like I said, it's not Margaritaville, it's not whatever those Butch and Sundance, whatever, those are all these stupid touristy restaurants. Or you know, what's they're actually building a Hooters right there.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, all those. It's the anti that.
Yeah.
It's this hole in the wall, beautifully appointed. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. Like, even just the music that was playing was just the right volume, and you'd go from, like, some beautiful Mexican song to Nina Simone to it was just gorgeous. So, Le Chef, or the entire city of Copenhagen.
In the entire city of Copenhagen. And did you feel comfortable? We're going to wrap up, and I know we'll talk a lot more about your travels over the next few podcasts you'll be on with me.
Oh, you're talking about being gay and all these different countries.
But just, like, did you feel comfortable being gay in this? Because Latin America and some of the places that you...
In...
Was there any place you didn't feel
Belize.
As comfortable? You don't feel as comfortable in Belize?
Belize is very, very anti-gay.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a big movement there right now about it. It's quite controversial. There's a lot of violence. Mm-hmm. It is not a place. I mean, you know, I'm going to get sued by the Belize Tourist Council. I would not recommend it to gay people.
Yeah, it's like Jamaica, right?
I mean, I would not recommend it as a destination.
Not Jamaica,
it has
not
beautiful
Belize.
Parts, and unless you're staying in a super high end resort where it's its own protected area, I would not wander around in Belize. Now, Roatan, a lot of homophobia in Roatan too, and yet I recognized a lot of gay people on the street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I could feel it. There was a lot of them. What's interesting is you get solicited a lot by people like gay prostitutes in the countries where it's seemingly the least accepted.
Interesting.
You get.
It's probably why they have so much violence, and we do a lot of those news stories. You know, where people.
Well, the repression leads to something else.
Yeah.
So, in Cozumel, Mexico, I felt very safe.
Mm-hmm.
Costa Maya, I felt very safe. Certainly, in any of the European countries.
Oh, of course.
In Portugal, in England, in Copenhagen.
You get marriage in a lot of those places.
So. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, some of the people that I sort of befriended in Copenhagen were sort of so curious and shocked about how behind we are.
Well, I do want to say congratulations. I gave you a tip of the hat in our news when Rhode Island became.
I saw it. Yeah, I listened to it. Little Rhodey. Became the 10th. Was it the 10th?
10th or 11th?
10th or 11th.
Wait, we're having
it. No, Delaware was the 11th.
Yep.
And then Minnesota.
And then Minnesota. And we'll
might
see.
Be the 12th, and maybe Illinois would be lucky 13.
It's my lucky number. So I'm thinking
lucky
13.
Yeah, Rhode Island. And I have to give a shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Tony and Sylvia DeLuca, who are my friend Louise's parents, who have been fighting for 20 years for this to happen. Tony, Anthony DeLuca is his name, and he was a state senator for many years and very popular and much loved school teacher and politician in Rhode Island, and an old school Italian man and his old school Italian wife. And they've been in my life since I was a kid. And I mean, they did you know, commercials, like TV commercials for it. And Tony went and spoke at this. Anytime it came up, he would trudge down to City Hall. It's a state house, in which, by the way, is a beautiful building in Providence, and get up and read his speech and as a, you know, old school Italian Catholic man, letting everyone know that his daughter deserves the same rights as everybody else.
Well, it's amazing. It's happening. It's rolling out. And, you know, we, perhaps even in the past, the days since we record this to the days in which this airs, who knows if Illinois or another state.
Because well, we're now at 20%.
We're now at 20%.
All of New England, I have to say, as a New Englander, I am very proud that New England is the first, like, solid region.
Block.
It's a block. New England is now solidly pro-gay marriage.
Yep.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting. I'm so excited to have you back.
I'm so happy to be back.
We're going
to
have you on. We're going to be doing some interviews about some of the upcoming stars coming to Ravinia. Ooh. And hopefully Mitchell will be in with me at least at the beginning of some of those days.
Love
where
that.
I've got some interview shows coming up. But yeah, everything's starting, guys. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, yeah, safe and wonderful.
A long weekend. Hope you have a good cookout.
Maybe and if you're coming
talk
to IML,
about having a little cookout.
Bring lube. Bring condoms.
Leather.
And the lube is not Latex. For the sex. The lube is so that your chaps don't chafe.
There you go. May your chaps not chafe. Everybody, happy Memorial Day. Have a great week.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.